John chapter 8, and this is kind of the season of the year where I have a bit of hay fever, so if I all of a sudden start sneezing uncontrollably, just bear with me, it'll be over soon enough. So John chapter 8, and we want to look at verse 31 and 32. John 8:31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth from cover to cover. We just pray you would help us this morning to glean much from it. Pray you would bless each of us, Lord, from your word. Pray that you would enable me to speak what you would have your people to hear. Lord, just pray you would strengthen us, Lord, in the knowledge of you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I think all of us would agree that if we have the choice to be enslaved or in bondage, or be free, that we would choose to be free. That freedom is something that we desire, something we cherish. Sometimes, of course, we recognize that we don't value it as highly until we lose it at a certain point where we don't have the freedom that we once had. But we realize if we are in a place of bondage, a place of slavery, that we want to have that freedom. We cry out for it. And we recognize from the scriptures that every person on earth is born a slave and in bondage to sin. That we realize that sin does enslave us, that we pursue after it for a bit, and then we find that suddenly this thing that we were doing, that we thought we could escape from, it has a hold of us, and we can't get away from it. We recognize in two ways that first of all we want to be free from the penalty of sin, that we realize that all of us are sinners, the wages of sin is death, and we recognize that no amount of good deeds that we can do can provide a solution to our problem. We cannot free ourselves. The solution is outside of ourselves. And we recognize as well that we want to be free from the power of sin in our daily lives, different things that affect us, sins that so easily beset us. We want to have victory over those things. We want to not have them burden us down anymore. We see in Romans chapter 7, Paul speaks that he delighted in the law of God after the inner man, but verse 23, "I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That the actual picture there, where it says of delivering from the body of this death, that it was actually a form of punishment in those days amongst the Romans, that sometimes they would chain you to a dead body, that you'd have to drag it around until it actually fell off or it actually made you sick as well. That it was a very what you would call a cruel and unusual punishment. But that is the thought, that who shall deliver me from the body of this death, that it's chained to me, I have to drag it around, how can I be free from it? And we realize that with our own sin nature, that it brings us into bondage. We think of our own selfishness, if we have trouble with anger or lust, different addictions we might have, sinful or stubborn habits, we wonder, well, how shall I be free from that? How can I work my way out of it? Is there some kind of program or steps that I can take that will free me from that? But we see what it says from the scriptures, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That is what we recognize. We see, well, what is the truth? How do we define that? And we see, first of all, that the written word is truth. Jesus says in John 17:17, as he prays to his Father, says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And then we recognize that the Bible is absolutely trustworthy, that if we follow its principles, that it will not lead us astray, that it reveals to us our own weaknesses, our own areas in which the devil gets an advantage over us, and it gives us the path of freedom, the path of deliverance. But we also recognize, when we think of truth, we recognize not only there's a written word, the truth, we recognize that the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the truth. That He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." And that's what we recognize, that that He is the truth, that Jesus Christ will make you free. And that's what we see in that passage in John 8, that the people that He spoke to didn't understand what He was saying. He said, "Well, we are Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage. How do you say we shall be made free?" And he shows them that whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that's what we understand, that we find freedom from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's something that we find in our Christian life sometimes, that we can know the truth, we can have a knowledge of what the Bible says, we can read the Scripture, we could memorize it, we can study it, have an understanding of it, we can accept it to be true and believe in it, but then we don't find any change being worked in our life. And we wonder, well, why is that? We believe in God, we have a faith, but that the Scriptures are the truth, but we recognize the devils also believe in God and they tremble. We can study the Bible and know what it says, but our lives can remain unchanged. That sometimes I think we almost can look at it like a medicine. That it was like, well, I read two chapters and then I'll be good for the day. But then sometimes we find that we read it and then the day starts and kind of the wheels fall off almost immediately. And we wonder, well, what's happened? Why is this? I thought that this would help me. But we want to come to the understanding where it says, "Well, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And what we want to focus on this morning is the idea of knowing the truth. And we understand, if with our English language, that it has a great deal of precision in many ways, but it does lack the precision of other languages. We understand that. Many might know that we have one word for love, but then a lot of other languages have other words. In the Greek, there's actually two different words. There's phileo, which is a brotherly love, and then there's agape, which is a selfless love. And so it defines it in different ways, and that's what we can actually see in the interplay with Jesus. When he asked Simon, "Do you love me?" he said, "Agape, do you love me selflessly?" And Peter said, "Well, yes, Lord, I love you." And it's phileo. It says, "Well, I'm a friend with you. You're my buddy," sort of thing. But he was trying to get him to see it a little bit deeper. And it's the same way in the sense of the word knowing and to know. In high school, I took German for 3 years. I don't remember a whole lot of it. But one thing I did remember, because I was always getting them confused, is that there was two different words for knowing or to know. There was one word that was wissen, and it was to have a knowledge of or an understanding of. It deals with concepts or ideas or things that were abstract. You'd have kind of a basic knowledge of it, that it was to know facts, like you could statistics or things like that. But then there was the word kennen, which is to be familiar with, to be acquainted with, that it dealt with people or places. That it's the same idea that if you say you thought about going to Paris and you wanted to go there, you want to find out about the city, you could read up on all these different books about it and get to know about it a lot, but yet it's not the same as if you lived there. As if you spent many years of your life there, that you can look at a map and you can say, "Well, I know Paris from the map," but then do you know it by actually being there? And it's experiencing it. It's the same that you could think of, that You have a desire, well, I want to be a good hockey player. And so you think, well, who is a great hockey player? Well, we think, well, Gordie Howe or Bobby Orr or Wayne Gretzky. We think, well, boy, I need to study them. I need to know all their statistics. I need to watch video of them so I can see how they do it, and that'll help me to become a good hockey player. But we realize that's very limited. And the fact is, you might know all about them, but do you actually know them? Have you ever met them? Have you ever spent time with them? And it's that difference that, imagine how different it would be if you did spend days and days with one of these guys and they showed you how to play the game of hockey. They gave you tips, and they actually were able to transfer some of their ability to you so that you could have their ability to be able to play the game. That would be what would really make a difference and cause you to do it better. And it's the same idea that we want to understand that with the Lord Jesus Christ, that truth is found in a person, in Him, that, and we understand that we study the written word so that we can become intimately acquainted with the living word. That we want to understand that we can have a knowledge of spiritual things and not have it help you. That we can know all these kind of statistics, all these thoughts about Jesus, but yet not know the person intimately, not be close to Him. That we kind of think that, well, if we know all the trivia about Jesus, that makes us strong as a Christian. But it's the idea, this Jesus is a person, as real as any of us, and that He wants to have a relationship with us, and we want to be close to Him. And we want to understand that when it says, "Ye shall know the truth," that it's not speaking there, and it was something I checked, I have on my online Bible, it has, you can bring up the German verse for it as well. And it doesn't have the wissen of knowing facts, knowing the truth in that way. It has kennen of knowing a person. And that's the thought, that we know the truth, that we're intimately acquainted with Him. And that's the thing, that we can have a sense of spiritual truth, but it does not necessarily affect us. It doesn't change us. We see in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, it says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." And looking at it in the German, that the knowledge here is that wissen, where it's just knowing facts. That we can know a great deal of things, but yet, if we don't know the Lord, if we're not close to Him, if we're not intimately acquainted with Him, it doesn't have a power in our life. And sometimes we find that our knowledge can actually keep us from God if we're proud in our knowledge. And we find in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7 that it speaks of people in the latter days, that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And how sad of that, that you could think of it, that someone could actually be a scholar of the Bible and study it intimately for their whole life, but if they don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have a relationship with Him, that they could still end up in hell. That, just imagine that they could be so close that they have the truth in their hands for their whole life, but yet nothing has changed, that they haven't passed from death unto life. And so we realize when it speaks of knowing the truth, and the truth shall make you free, that it's knowing Him, having a relationship with Him. That we recognize that if we don't know the Lord Jesus personally and intimately, He has no power to make a difference in our life. And we understand that for someone that's seeking the Lord, that isn't saved, that knowing Christ personally makes a difference between life and death. We see this in Matthew chapter 7. That it says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That unless a person knows the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to Him in repentance and faith, not coming in pride or self-righteousness, not trying to impress Him or earn our way to heaven, coming to Him helplessly, that then they'll be saved, that then they will have a relationship with Him that can never be broken. That we see in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 that the Lord says that He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have that relationship with Him. And we see as well in Jeremiah chapter 9. It says, Jeremiah 9 and verse 23, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." And that's the thought that for salvation, that a person can't look to anything within themselves and glory in that. And as a Christian as well, that whatever abilities we have, that we think that we have much to offer to the Lord, that we want to recognize that what we have the glory in is that we understand and we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's what makes the difference in our life. That we don't glory in these other things, but in Him. And so we recognize that. That knowing Christ personally makes a difference between eternal life and eternal death. We also want to understand the Christian life, that once we're saved, that knowing Christ in our daily life makes a difference between failure and success. It makes the difference between struggling through life and having victory. It makes the difference between survival, just making it through, and having an abundant life. That's what He wants to give us. Not just make it through the day, but to be victors in it. And it comes that we understand what Christ has done for us on the cross. Just as the same with our salvation. We realize, we look back, what did He do for me on the cross? And we accept it by faith. And we draw close to Him, realizing our need, that it's the same way in our daily life, that we realize that He's changed everything now that I'm saved, now that I'm a Christian, that I'm a new creature in Christ. Sin does not have to have dominion over me, that I can have access to the Father and get grace to help in time of need. That we recognize who we are in Christ. That we look at it and we see in the Scriptures what it says of us and we take it, well, that means that positionally this is where I am in Christ. What has happened now that I'm saved, it's just as if I had never sinned. It's as if I'm holy before the Lord. But we also want to understand that this is what has happened positionally, but the Lord also wants to make it true in our life practically. That He wants us to become into His image. He wants this to be true in our life. And He's done everything necessary to make that happen. And so we realize with the Lord Jesus Christ that He is a real person. He is not just some abstract concept. He is not just something that we dream about or try to imagine. He is someone that was real. John speaks in 1 John 1, "Whom we have seen, whom our hands have handled, the Word of Life," that we need to spend time with Him. We need to speak with Him and grow close to Him. And the more time we spend with Him, the more we will be transformed. And people will see that if we spend time with Him, we will never be the same. And we understand that if we're with Jesus, that it'll change us. That if you know Him intimately, you desire to please Him, you desire not to do anything that would displease Him because you're close to Him. It's thought with Lee and I, we've been married for just about 7 years now, and because we've been together, we know a lot of different things about each other. And it was my birthday this week, and Malia knows me, and so she got me a little thing of honey roasted peanuts because she knows I really enjoy them. But it's something that I know that if I'm going to eat them, they make a lot of noise, and Malia doesn't want, if she's sitting there reading a book, she doesn't want me to be sitting there munching these honey roasted peanuts while she's reading the book because it's distracting. And so she knows me. She does something that pleases me in getting me these peanuts. But I know what I do is I wait till she's in bed or I go outside and eat them so it won't bother her. And that's the thought, that when we draw close to the Lord, we love Him, we desire to maintain that closeness, we don't want to do anything that will get in the way of that, that it'll change us, that it won't be something that is just a list of, well, I need to do this and not do this and try to struggle and fight to kind of keep this checklist to prove that I'm doing right, but that it's just the love of Christ constraineth us, that he gives us the means to do it, that we're transformed as a result. And that's the thought, that when we truly get close to the Lord, when we truly draw close to Him in our relationship with Him, it isn't something where we just kind of go for a bit and we're like, wow, that was good, and then we don't go for another couple years. We sort of think, well, I've got my fix for this year and I'll not go back. It's something that when we truly get close to Him, it's the thought, well, we want more, that we want to be with Him. We want to get ever closer to Him. And it becomes the pursuit of our life. We see that in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul, he said that he wanted to suffer the loss of all things. He didn't want to have his own righteousness. He wanted to have the righteousness of God by faith. And we see Philippians 3 verse 10, he says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. That he was drawing close to Him. That sometimes we of course, in this day and age, we almost have a drive-through mentality. We come to the Lord, we say, well, I need this for my day, I need help in this area, and we come to Him and He gives us those things and then we depart. But He wants us instead, that if we seek Him, He'll give us all those other things as well, but the main focus is to seek Him, to know Him, to draw close to Him, that we walk with Him. And that's what the Lord wants to give us, this knowledge. We realize that He desires of us that we would be conformed to His image. And we do that the more we're with Him, the closer we are to Him. We see in 1 John chapter 3, it speaks of that John 3 verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is, as he is pure. That it's that thought that we know we're going to be like Him, and so we desire to be close to Him so that we can be made like Him, that we do desire to know Him ever more intimately. We see in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12, it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. That we know God knows us so intimately. He knows us, our rising up and our sitting down. He knows our thought afar off, that we cannot hide from Him. He knows us so closely, and it's that thought that one day that we'll know Him as well as He knows us. And that's our desire. That's our pursuit. And that's what the Lord wants to give unto us. We see, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, that this is a prayer of Paul for the Ephesians. Ephesians 1 and verse 17, it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, knowledge of His Son, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. That we want to understand this, that there is an exceeding greatness that is there for us, that is waiting for us, the riches of the glory of His inheritance, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, that it's there, and it's as we know Him, as we draw close to Him, as we become intimately acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we find all these things, that He gives us victory, He gives us grace, He gives us freedom over things that have plagued us for years, that we have that in Christ. And it says we pursue after Him as we know Him, that we don't just know about Him, but that we know Him personally. That would be the desire of our lives. It speaks in Ephesians 3:19 that we would know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so may the Lord help us in that. If it's something that we look at our lives, we examine, we say, well, I've never really, I know a lot about Jesus, but I've never actually come to Him and had a relationship established with Him through repentance and faith, that it is something that we make that change if that's what we find. And if we recognize that we are a Christian, we do have a relationship with Him, but we realize we haven't nurtured it as we should, we haven't valued it as we ought to, that it's something that we kind of, we're estranged from Him, we kind of go to Him to get what we want, but then we don't really spend time with Him, that we turn back and we realize I'm missing out on what's the whole focus of my Christian life, of knowing Him, of being close to Him. And the more that I know Him, the more free my life will be, the more glorious will be the blessing of His fellowship and presence in my life. And so may the Lord help us that we would understand the power of knowing Him, and that we would be forever changed as a result. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word once more. We just pray, Lord, You would help us to draw nigh unto You, that we would not be content with just knowing a bit about You or just knowing facts about You, Lord, but that we would know You as a person, that we would draw nigh unto You, that You would bless us and strengthen us through our life, that we might be a blessing to others, Lord. We just pray, Lord, You would bless us this morning, Lord, and throughout the rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand once more. We'll turn to number 502 and sing My Savior First of All. 502, and just the thought that we, one day that we will know Him, and how glorious that will be, and how we pursue after Him in our lives today. On the first,
when my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face, and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise Him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, and our parting at the river I recall. To the sweet vales of Eden they will swing my welcome home, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. Through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand.
Amen. Brother Paul, would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Presence this week, for you walk with us, and we love to walk with you.